photography and social art, and both involved in natural death care, crossings work, for a long time. We are presenting the Lemniscate Journey, looking at living and dying. And if we had planned it, we could not have had a better introduction as Patrick did last night. He set us up for actually our workshop and what we will be practicing today. We hope, and first, I am not a, this is new to me. I am not able to, so bear with me. We're creating this space together. We're definitely in this together. So we hope to really have that consciousness that we're all working together here to create this space, a sacred space. I will start by the next slide, which just give you a little overview before we introduce ourselves, a little overview of what we'll be talking about today. Through working through this, it came clear that these were the four areas that we'd be focusing on. Biography and social art, exploring ways of connecting, and Patrick talked about connecting last night, it was perfect. And the Lemniscate Journey, life between death, life, death, and rebirth. And image making will be a big part of our work today. Transformation and forgiveness today and tomorrow. So if I look at my notes, I will have to look at my notes as we go through this. So we're going to call the circle together. I'm going to ring the Tibetan bowl. And Jennifer did, that when we ring this and it's on internet, it doesn't reverberate as long as you can hear it when you're in person. So what I would like for you to do is I will ring it and listen to it as long as you can hear it, and then know that it's still going, the reverberation. It's still connecting all of us. The reverberation will still be a way of connecting all of us, and also connecting those, our loved ones on the other side. So when you stop hearing, when the reverberation stops for you, we welcome you to speak the names of loved ones who have died, who crossed the threshold of death. You can say it to yourself or you can say them out loud. And then I will ring it again to close this part. Janet and John Hampton.
Marguerite.
Denise.
Tom Crater.
Patrick Hart.
David Mears.
Nanetta Sambar.
Jack Heckelman.
Petra Ioana. Georgetta.
Kirsten.
Trin.
Dina.
Elizabeth,
Jim McClurkin,
Christopher,
Lucia Angeline,
Carla,
Hildebrand,
Conjuda,
Hilda,
Bernard,
Robert,
Michael Green,
Trigadine,
Grandpa Patterson.
Ben.
Carla.
Omar.
John Klein.
That was interesting. Thank you. Some extra ringing there. So I don't know where how that came from somewhere. That's amazing. So thank you. We want to just take a breath and just breathing in and out. It's the rhythm we have during life. And as Patrick mentioned last night, this death is a breathing out. And coming back to earth is a breathing in, coming back to physical existence. So we'd like to, hopefully you have your altar or your special things around you, or if not, you can imagine. And we're a lot, I've already lit my candle. If you haven't already lit your candle, you can do that now. And then we'll look at the next slide, Tess.
May love of hearts ray out to love of souls. May warmth of heart ray out to spirit light. Even so would we draw near to you, thinking with you thoughts of spirit, feeling with you the love of worlds, consciously at one with you, willing in silent being. I would like to just take a moment after saying that verse. It holds a special place in my heart. After Kirsten Berg and Nina Dietzel died, there were a handful of us that decided we were going to start a reading for the dead group. And that's the verse that we started with and closed with all those 20 some years ago. And dear Linda, I see you here. Brings me to tears thinking back to those days. And out of that tiny little reading for the dead group has come an incredible network out of Minneapolis and St. Paul, and has spread, well, around the globe now. And it's very humbling to feel like I was a part of that, those early days. I would just like to say that I feel like I'm, and maybe I said this earlier, I feel like I'm stumbling humbly into all of this, as many of us are. Those of us who are presenters who might be here and have been on some tech assistance calls as we're planning this. And as someone said earlier, she's a Luddite, and I put myself into that category, but I'm having to do a lot of self-overcoming related to this workshop. And that's part of what we're going to be talking about and sharing today. I'd like to just take a minute to speak about the pandemic that we're experiencing. And I also would like to, I think it was Jean Yeager said something about naming it, or somebody in the last session said something about just calling this the corona, because corona itself has different, it can mean halo, can mean crown, has many different other interpretations besides what has become so popular at the moment. But in this pandemic, I heard an interesting interview with David Kessler, who was a student of, or is a student of, and also colleague of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And this was earlier on, and he spoke about that we're going through collective grief. And this also came up in our small group a little earlier this morning. And there is grieving, and it's collective, and it brings up the grieving of for ourselves personally, of past losses, past deaths that we've experienced, but we're going through this together. I mean, we may get tired of hearing that we're all in this together, but oh my gosh, in such a way that we've never been before, and in this collective grief. he's written a book called The Sixth Stage of Grieving. You've maybe heard about and know Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's Five Stages of Grief. Well, he lost a son at the age of 21. And following that, he knew that there was something beyond acceptance. And he calls it finding meaning. And I believe that that's part of what underlies this third Sacred Gateways workshop. It's finding meaning through the process of dying. And again, we'll say it over and over again. Patrick set it up perfectly last night with his beautiful presentation. And the other thing I'd like to acknowledge is Brené Brown's idea and thought about collective vulnerability. And I'm showing up here today in all my humble stumbling and so on, as vulnerable as I can be. This is truly an experiment of working with the internet and still at the same time trying to have the kind of deep human encounter that biography and social art is all about. So thank you and welcome everyone.
Thanks, Jennifer. I would just like to pass on a thought, a prayer that I learned from something that Steiner had written, and I can't find the actual source at this point, after 9/11. And I always remember this when, especially large numbers of people are dying, that we can ask, pray and ask for those forces of those dead to be used for the good. And that's what I would like to think about now, that all the people who are dying, all those forces in the spirit world can be used for the good. So here we are. Here I am. You each can say that. Here I am. And it says I'm spotlighted here. Oh my gosh. Let's not get too close. So here we are, and here I am, and we can each say that. So now we're going to go around the circle. We're going to think of this as a circle. And I think Tess is going to say your name, and you say where you're from, because how many people do we have?
We have about 57 on the call.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're going to take, we decided, Jennifer and I, you know, decided that we will take time for each person. Do we have time for each person to say their name and just where they're from? Okay.
So I'll go and I'll unmute you and I'll say your name and you can go ahead and say your name and where you're from.
Okay, thanks.
So also just make sure your name is kind of something that I can read and acknowledge as your name. If you don't know how to rename yourself on Zoom, that's totally fine too. Okay. So Dina, you're first on my screen.
It's not iPad. I'm Dina Jackie and I'm in Tucson, Arizona. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Dina.
Okay. Thank you. Caitlin, you're next.
I'm Caitlin and I live in Missoula, Montana.
Okay, Linda Berg. Oh, I can't unmute you, Linda. You need to unmute yourself.
Okay. I'm Linda Berg from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay. Paulette.
Hi, I'm Paulette Arnold from Marinette, Wisconsin, and hello to all my dear biography friends, Sandra and
Caitlin Lamb.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Lamb from Santa Barbara, California.
Welcome.
Etia?
I'm Etia from Greenfield, Massachusetts.
Eileen's iPad.
Eileen Frischette from Cincinnati, Ohio.
And a good friend next to her all the time.
You must be iPad.
Not a machine.
Okay. Linda Britt. Oh, I can't unmute you either. I think some people have security settings.
Linda Britt from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Nice.
Sorry about that. Kathleen Erickson.
Kathleen Erickson from the Metro Detroit area.
Colleen Corrigan.
Colleen from the Adirondacks in upstate New York.
Hi, Colleen.
Hi, Jennifer, good old partner.
Yes, right.
Okay, June.
June Ann Strickland from Southern New Hampshire.
Oh, that's where I'm from. It just says B-Witz.
Yes, Barbara Splendorio. I'm from Great Barrington, Mass.
Claudia Knudsen. Oh, I can't unmute you either.
Hello, Claudia from Santa Barbara, California.
Joyce
Rice. I'm currently in Santa Cruz, California, and I live in upstate New York in the Catskills, but calling from Santa Cruz.
Brigitte.
Hello, I'm Brigitte Bowler from the Detroit metro area.
Detroit, yay, thanks. Mary Hartzell.
I am Mary Hartzell from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Mary.
Margaret, you made it. I can't unmute you either, okay.
Yeah, that was getting into the main room last time, but I'm Margaret Runyon from New Orleans.
Hi.
Hi. Fiona? Can you unmute? Sorry, some don't work. I don't know why.
Hi, Fiona from Ireland, currently in Lansing, Michigan.
Okay. Anka?
Yeah. Anke Smele from Camp Hill Village, Copaic in upstate New York.
MCK.
Hi, I'm Martin from Felton, California.
It just says TOG 2017. Oh, can you unmute yourself?
Yes. Theodore Calgary, Canada.
Thank you. Mary.
I'm Mary Bryan and Hannah Bidston from Vancouver Island, Canada.
Okay. Kathy Reardon.
Hi, I'm from Eugene, Oregon. Good morning.
Lisa Bartman. Can you unmute too? I can't.
Lisa Bartman. I'm in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Kathy O'Neill.
Hi, Kathy O'Neill. I'm from Hackensack, New Jersey, but I've been living in LA for a long time. I'm in Santa Monica, California.
Carol.
Hello, Carol Nickel from St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Christina.
I'm Christina from Pontiac, Michigan.
Jolie, can you unmute? Oh.
Hello. Hello, my name is Jolie. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
Welcome, Jolie.
Deborah.
Salt Lake City, Utah, but grew up on the East Coast and Cincinnati, Ohio. So hello, everyone.
Hi.
Thanks. Madeline, can you unmute?
I'm Madeline. I live in Aurora, just north of Toronto, and originally from Detroit.
Rosemary.
Got me. Okay, I'm Rosemary Caruso. I live in Ann Arbor, area right now, and I grew up in Pittsburgh.
Judith.
I'm Judith Diana, and I'm from Bozeman, Montana.
A. Eastman.
Hi, Amanda Eastman from the Vancouver, Washington area.
Debbie Barford.
I am Debbie Barford from Chicago.
Blanche.
Debbie.
Blanche. Oh, yes. Hi, I'm Blanche from Pierrepont, Michigan.
Hi. Kathy.
I'm Kathy Wahid from San Jose, California.
Janet.
I'm Janet Clement from Richmond, Maine.
Jen. Nichols.
Hi, I'm Jen Nichols from Barrington, Illinois. It is west. Northwest of Chicago.
Joan Kershaw.
Joan Kershaw from Santa Barbara, California.
Sorry, Joan Kershaw. Mary Adams.
Mary Adams, and I'm in Northwest Lower Michigan.
Celia. Morning, I am Celia Larson and I'm in Northville, Michigan, which is between Detroit and Ann Arbor. Beatrice?
Beatrice Voigt, I'm in the Detroit metropolitan area.
Sharon?
Sharon from Washington, D.C., grateful to be here.
Thanks. Barbara? No, let's see. Okay, Barbara.
Hi, I'm Barbara Boheim from Ann Arbor, Michigan. And it's just by the miracle of this technology, I see some folks that I haven't seen in a long time, dear friends. Great.
Wonderful. Annabelle?
Hi, I'm Annabelle Membrillo. I'm calling from Querétaro, that is near Mexico City in Mexico.
Okay, Warren Hunt.
Marcia Warren Hunt from Lambertville, Michigan, right over the line from Toledo, Ohio.
And Beatrice, I believe, did I get you, Beatrice?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Mauricio. Are you there?
Yes, Mauricio Nunez from Cusco, Peru.
Great, we got your video too, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. And Camille. See, is Camille here? Okay, we'll come back.
Oh, I guess I had to unmute myself. Yeah, I'm from Frankfort, Michigan. By Lake Michigan.
Great. Mary Tom. Can you unmute?
Yes. Hi, I'm Mary Tom. I'm from Chicago.
Great. Andre Naylor. Oops, sorry, you can unmute. Oh, there you are. Okay. Go for it.
Andre Naylor from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Wonderful. Jean?
It's actually Marietta.
Okay.
Marietta Yeager from Rutland, Vermont. And hello to all my Michigan friends and New Orleans as well.
Nancy's iPad. Is Nancy here?
She's not here.
Oh, okay. Who's on the Nancy's iPad? You can introduce yourself.
Paul Mitchell, Huntington Beach, California.
Great, thank you. And I have one more. It says Margaret's iPad. Did I get you, Margaret? Okay, Margaret's iPad. If you're there, you can introduce. Otherwise, we're complete. We're a complete group. Okay, Margaret, if you can hear me. Okay, we'll come back. If Margaret comes back later, you can message me, Margaret, and we'll have you introduce yourself. Okay. All right. So, and I'm Tess Parker from Los Angeles, California.
Thanks. Thank you all. Wonderful. It took some time to do that, but I think I love that everybody's name is in the circle, except maybe Margaret if she comes back. But thank you so much. And it's wonderful to see so many new people and so many people that I've known over the years. So, this has been acknowledged, but the fact that we're using technology, you know, I think was a big decision, and we chose to use technology to do this conference. And so I think because of the technology, we need to be even more conscious of our togetherness and to in our work together with warmth and interest of each other, and that this we do this with the intention of serving the good. And we're all practicing social art here. This is where the process is the actuality. That's one of my favorite quotes from, actually it's Alfred, not North Whitehead, but my mentor and friend, Janet Hampton, who introduced me to biography and social art, actually brought that quote to me. So let's settle in. Just pause for a second and breathe again. And we'll go to the next slide. Slide, please. We want to remember where we are. It was wonderful hearing where everybody was from. I'm glad we did that. And I could just imagine all these different places and all the people who are coming together. So we want to give thanks to where we are. And this is the altar that I made. We asked people if they would like to bring special things to surround your area, to important things to help us bring spirit of those we love. And so I want to remember the elements, where we are. Think about where you are. There's so many different kinds of places. And so just to get this sense of place where you are, think about the earth, the air, the water, the fire, the elements. And bring to mind also, because we'll be speaking of divine beings through our journey today, the divine cosmic beings who are with us, the divine cosmic being of the sun, divine feminine, Mary Isis Sophia, and by her many names, and also present are the so-called dead. We are not alone here. We are not alone. So I feel like we're being seen and held by these beings. And we're offering them gifts. They're giving us gifts. We're offering them gifts through our sharing, our self-reflection, our work on forgiveness and transformation, and our community creation. I got really nervous in the middle of the week. I've been nervous about this the whole time, but really nervous in the middle of the week and had a meltdown. And Tess is so good, and Jennifer and Joyce is on here who did our slides. And I just had to bring myself back to myself. And in the last 2 days, I've gotten 4 calls or texts from people who didn't really know that I was doing this. They really don't know much about my work with caring for the dead. And they all 4 brought stories of loved ones who had died, who I knew in the past. And I had to say, okay, I'm on the right path here. I'm taking this as a confirmation. So thank you for being here. And we'll go to Jennifer now.
Thank you, Sandra.
Wait just a minute. That's my father, who I'll be talking a little bit later, Tom Crater. I'll just have to mention his name. He's very important in my biography. So, Jennifer.
Thank you, Sandra. I'm going to just briefly share, because we took a longer time having everybody place their voices into our circle, sort of on the reverberation of the Tibetan bell ringing out, bringing us all together, calling us together. And I feel that that was an important part for us to do as we encounter one another today from all over the Americas. My goodness. Biography and social art, I'll get into it more tomorrow. I first came to it many years ago in my foundation studies classes. And my dear friend and colleague, Linda Berg, came and gave a lecture at that time. And at that time, the book we used was called Citizens of the Cosmos by Berardine Joslin. And so my first encounter with biography and social art was totally in the context of being a citizen of the cosmos. And this quote by Rudolf Steiner that's on your screen: when you practice self-knowledge, you can behold what the starry heaven bestowed upon you between death and a new birth, the best and finest powers of your soul. I like to think of biography work as a vehicle for practicing social art and a way of coming to self-knowledge. And people from the ancients onward have talked about know thyself, an unexamined life is not worth living. And knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom, which came from Aristotle. So it's this developing our own self-awareness that can begin this spiritual awakening and this spiritual process within us. I can't remember, I think it was in a Daisy Alden poem, but I haven't been able to locate it, but I really like this idea. We are, I'm a vertical being on a horizontal path. Biography work brings us to this verticalness in ourselves inside, reaching to the earth, reaching to the heavens. But social art helps us walk this horizontal path on the earth by sharing and listening, speaking. And when we do that, we dethrone ourselves. When we really engage in the kind of interest that Patrick Kennedy spoke about last night, we engage with intense interest and we dethrone ourselves. We overcome ourselves, which we'll be talking about more as we practice some of the exercises later today and tomorrow. The touchstones tests, I guess we can go to the touchstone. Oh, no, one more thing. I came across last night, and I this is a book that Sandra and I used. I don't know if you can see it or not, but it's called Unbornness by Peter Selg. And there's something I came across that I think is really important as we engage in biography work. Considering in this way what human beings experience between death and a new birth, a feeling of human responsibility can develop that tells us, if you assess the whole meaning of what it is to be a human being on the basis of what the gods achieve and their work on the human being between death and a new birth, then you must also work hard to deserve to be a human being in earthly life. I hadn't, even though I'd read that book before, that hadn't struck me as it did as I read it last night. So we have a responsibility that awakens in us, and we can begin to
practice self-knowledge, because then we can develop the best and finest powers of our souls. So now to 7 and 8, thanks. Just a reminder, the foundation of creating our sacred circles, which Linda referred to earlier, and the next one, please, Tess. Listening provides the soul of the listener the practice of self-overcoming. We dethrone ourselves from the center of our world and put the other there. From Karen Armstrong, a noted religious scholar and former nun. And Chris Schaefer talks about social art offering us invitations to develop interest, empathy, and ultimately acts of compassion. Again, that process that Patrick Kennedy spoke about last night, going from letting to loving and living through dying. Sandra. Sandra's on mute.
Talking away. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Okay. Next slide, please. Actually, I loved it that Patrick did mention connections last night, and that's part of what we're talking about today. And when I saw this quote several years ago, I thought, this is what I want to develop and talk about. And the purpose, it's a Rudolf Steiner quote from Staying Connected. The purpose of earthly life is to develop connections and relationships that can be continued after death. That says a lot. And Tess, next slide, please. This is a piece of art that I received from a friend, Kathleen Bowen, many years ago when I was in biography and social art class. And I've had it hanging in my living room for years. And then when I heard the words web of destiny, I thought, this is it. This is the piece of art that shows the web of destiny. There are so many connections in and out, broken places, all the strands and the beauty of our web of destiny. And we do have a web of destiny, and I understand from Steiner that we will be able to see truly that web of destiny after we die, but we can have inclinations definitely now looking at our life experiences. And so we're each part of a web of destiny, and we're building that too, this community of the living and the dead, as we work together and as we share our stories about those on the other side or think about our experiences. And Patrick mentioned it last night, he didn't use the word web of destiny, I don't think, but he used the example because somebody asked the question about suicide. And when somebody commits suicide, we all stop and think, what could I have done different? And all kinds of people, what could I have done? And that just shows this connection we have with people. Okay, next slide, please. Here's my homemade slide. This proves that I am not a professional presenter. Everybody laughed at this. I call this my little orange people slide. And this is the limnoscape that we're looking at for making connections. And so I can't see the whole slide, but that's okay. I don't know if you can or not read the words to the right. But Tess, can you use your little cursor here? So we can see down at the bottom, that's our living, down at the bottom. I don't have a cursor. We just talked about this morning. And then the crossroads in the middle there, and then coming back around that place of living and dying. So the connections at the bottom, this connection with ourselves, know thyself, inner work. Our inner work. That's one type of connection. Practicing self-knowledge, and Jennifer has already talked about that some. And then the other is between people on earth while they're alive, between us while we're living, down the two. Oh, look, there's a red thing. Oh, wow. And then the connection between while we're on earth with those on the other side. Those are connections. And then at the top, the three are the connections we have after we die with the people we have known on earth. So for the first part down at the bottom with ourselves is practicing self-knowledge. Here in my life, I'm gonna use an example. I have a husband, Angelo, who's a very nice person. Very nice, very helpful, kind, generous. But he happens to bring me everything I need to work on in my life as resulting from my childhood. And so that my interpersonal work is very important, which really affects me personally and how I feel and how I deal with other people, which goes to the next one, the two, is really important in how I deal with each other, with each, the people in my life. But it also really, my father died, Tom, I had a very difficult childhood, and he died about 21 years ago this week, April the 20th. And part of my process is with him. And this has been going on a long time, especially after he died. I came to the realization one day that my working through my issues relating to him was not only helping me in my relationships in my family, but also helping free him. So I feel like that we can continue our relationships with those who have died. And then I know that when I die, and you'll see, because we're going to be going through an imagine image making journey today, that it makes a difference after we die, just connecting. So the only thing I wanted to say here is that connecting must be done with those who have died with interest, with love and interest and warmth of heart. It's very important. And gratitude is a very, and it, you know, it took me a long time to find the gratitude. And now I have a gratitude for my father and my web of destiny, my karmic relations. So thank you. So we are going to talk now about image making, the importance of image making in our working with those who are on the other side of the threshold. And here's the first quote. I'm just going to, these are my boom, boom, boom quotes. We're going to read these quotes and then move on. They, the dead, cannot live without these images. Images we have, the images we make for ourselves of the dead, on which the dead depend. Without them, they would look to the earth and it would appear to them as void as the surface of the moon, empty, totally without anything alive to behold. The next one, that's duplicate, I think. Our images are the cathedrals, the works of art by which the dead can see the earth. Next, please. We have to learn to make images. We have to learn image making as a deliberate activity of our souls. And this is an image that a friend of mine who's 93, who's waiting to cross, Jo Leeds, she's an artist, painted after as image making after meditation. The next image, please. Here's an image from Citizens of the Cosmos. It's life after life. I just want to mention the importance of realizing that we have multiple reincarnations, life after life. And today we'll be, and tomorrow, Jennifer and I'll be working with just one, even though has to do with a lot of our past lives also, but I wanted to, this, I know I've had this sense of repeated lives, and all my work with Anthroposophy confirms that. I'd like to read one quote that I didn't get up here is, while we're doing this total journey, looking at living and dying and rebirth, Peter Selg says from Unbornness, life can only be understood if we see it in its entirety, not if we consider only the short segment of time between birth and death. For that particular segment depends intrinsically on spiritual occurrences before birth. In our entire essence, we depend on what happened in the spiritual world before we were born. So as above, so below. How did I get to this place of thinking so strongly about this image making and so humbly presenting it here, this exercise? I got a card from the Center for Biography and Social Art, I don't know, a little over 10 years ago. And I'd already been working with social art through my study group with Janet Hampton, and who she had just gotten back from the school of, from Emerson, working with Chris and Signe Schaefer. So all this was fresh for her, and that's when I met her. So I'd been introduced to social art, biography and social art, but then I went to a lecture and I heard that we're responsible for the dead. And that was over 30 years ago, and I had two small children and my husband traveled a lot, and I thought, how could this be? How could we be responsible for the dead? I feel like I can barely making it with the living. So fast forward 35 years and many experiences of biography and social art, caring for the dead along the way, a lot of reading. And also I feel like personal experiences with those on the other side of the threshold, I come to humbly present this limnoscape imagination. And because death is a mystery, and this is what I would like to take us on, this imaginary journey. I will be mentioning, which I've already mentioned before, the cosmic spiritual beings. So we are not in this alone. We're in this together. We're doing this together, and we're not alone in this journey. So it is very. I'm finding this very difficult. Because it's silent. I'm only hearing myself talk.
You're doing great, Sandra.
But I realize the silence. I can't see. I can't, you know, it's really different. But I'm glad you're all here.
You're doing amazing. And I just want to say, we can hear your paper shuffling a little bit, so we might want to.
Okay.
For the recording, it might be a little shuffly.
Okay. Yeah.
So good. Yeah.
Thanks for reminding me of that. Yes. Because every time I finish a page, I'm ripping it off. So I'll try to put it down there when I rip my page off. I don't have enough confidence to do it without it. So, okay. So this, as we go on this journey, I'd like for you to remember that this is happening all the time. This is happening just like Patrick said last night, people are coming in and people are going out, and they're all at all stages of this journey through life and then after death. And this is just this, I find that so amazing to think, imagine that this great mystery of coming and going, which is the name of the piece of art we showed in the beginning of Elizabeth Carrington, the great mystery of coming and going. And it's important that we have true images of this, of these real spiritual happenings, to really think about this and imagine this. And these images that I'm going to share were given by Rudolf Steiner as real spiritual happenings. Slide 7, the next slide, please. He says, we are asked to accompany the dead on their further destinies. Memento mori. So you can settle in. We're going to begin the imagination in just a minute. I think we're going to go to the Nanette Sombart's slide. Next. There. We'll have this slide up during our imagination. You want to settle in. You may want to close your eyes if you throughout this journey, I'd like for you to remember your divine core, your I am, your eternal essence that is with you through birth, death, and rebirth, and life after life. You can imagine this. Jennifer likes to imagine this. Tell me, imagine this as a golden thread that we have carrying through with us through our life and death. So if you're ready, we'll begin. The moment of death has occurred. You have breathed out your last breath. This is a glorious moment of reality. It's the sun point of your life's existence. You're being born into the spiritual world. Dying becomes a conscious experience for you as you lay aside your physical body like a garment that is worn out or torn so it's no longer used. You're now moving from the realm of illusion to the realm of truth. If you have lived with moral strength, your soul's open to the light, pure light. At death, your life body, your etheric body withdraws, and the elementals begin claiming the physical substance of your body. The earth begins taking possession of your body. You begin rising from your corpse. You begin entering a world where your life biography is given over to divine spiritual beings. Here you meet your true self, the being that you created through all your thoughts, feelings, and actions during your life in the physical world. It is your own character in front of you. You become objectively conscious of your earthly experiences through these ever-expanding pictures. You can now realize the value of the sense world on earth as you enter the supersensible world. The ether body, which holds memories of your whole life, begins dissolving away in the cosmos. A tableau of your life, a panorama of your life, living thoughts comes before you for about 3 days. You can feel during this time the love and reverence your loved ones are sending you from Earth. This love and reverence helps you on your journey. You calmly watch these memories objectively without feelings of judgment. Imagine this expansion. You're now expanding to the moon sphere. In ordinary human consciousness, you can see earthly life from the front, but with initiation vision and after death,
Now you can see your web of destiny, your karmic relationships from the other side. Time becomes space. Imagine a bluish, violet, ethereal atmosphere. The angels draw near, and in their divine grace, receive living thoughts, images from the other side of the panorama. They take this into their care. They breathe them in. Your memories have been breathed in by spiritual beings. As you enter the moon sphere, the moon orbit sphere, you begin your backward journey through your earthly life. Here in the moon sphere, you wean yourself from attachments, from earthly desires and cravings, your likes and dislikes. Here you experience people with you, with whom you had karmic connections. You experience how the other felt when you reacted with them. If you hurt them, you feel their pain. The moon spiritual beings evaluate your earthly deeds and determine their value for their worth or harm to the universe. If you did harm or what you did was worthless for the cosmos, you feel coldness and experience darkness. If you did what was valuable, you are bathed in light and life. But you are never alone during this journey. Here you come to a resolve to compensate for your deeds. Here on the moon sphere, your immoral deeds are registered and are left behind to be picked up on your return to your next life. The seeds of your next life's karma appear here. You begin to see what needs to be changed in your next life. Here you will decide to do better next time, to purify yourself and to become more like the angels. The angels are with you. You know that life on earth is an opportunity to learn and develop love. Now you're ready to move to the next sphere, Mercury, the world of the archangels. In the Mercury sphere, you become aware of those who were near you in your life, who died before you. You will become aware of them all. Here you meet them. How you meet them will depend on your morality during life. Whether you're isolated or find connections will depend on your moral sense during life. Here the consequences of health and illness are removed by the Mercury spirit beings. You can feel the effects of illness being taken away as part of the purification process. Here we begin to draw forces of what we need for our next incarnation. From the Mercury sphere, you move into the Venus existence. If you were really able to love on earth, you feel your souls flooded with cosmic love. Here again, your morality determines your existence on the Venus period. The evolution of ideas and concepts during earthly life are important here. Did you grow in your understanding? Did you grow in your understanding of the spirit? Ideas of religious nature are important here, and religion being the meaning being a link between the transitory and the eternal. Here you can see the divine spark in each one. there you can see that there's a kinship among all humankind. Here, the beings of primal forces, the Archai, transmute your earthly experience more so that you can move into a more advanced stage of the spiritual world, the sun sphere. You cannot move to the sun sphere until your last earthly life is worked through. Now, in the sun sphere, that you have been released of all of your past life's baggage, you have a feeling of pure bliss. The sun spiritual beings radiate throughout the cosmos, shining on all. In the sun sphere, you are connected with all humanity. You experience the universal human. All humanity is embraced. All races, all religions, all human imposed differences are erased. You're now in the context of light and in the context of light. And all embracing love helps you find each other. In the sun sphere, you can hear the beautiful music of the spheres, the inner working of the starry worlds and the different spiritual beings. This glorious music, the cosmic harmonies and melodies accompany you on your journey. Here again, having a strong eye on earth in a relationship with the cosmic sun spirit illuminates your time in the sun sphere. How you loved on earth becomes a reality. The sun sphere is a realm of the future and of freedom. If you found Christ on earth, the cosmic sun being, he will be found in the sun sphere, sun realm. You remain much of your time in the sun sphere, much of your time of unbornness. Here you began to work with spiritual hierarchies to create your own body and plan for the next life. Your plan for your actions and your sufferings. Here in the sun sphere, you draw forces that will enable you to build up your body for your next life. The sun is now below you as you move on this journey. You find Lucifer, the light bearer, also helps you illuminate your way at this point. After purification, you move on to the planetary spheres of Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and toward the zodiac. We gather courage in the Mars sphere. We experience reverence, devotion, unity for all life in the Jupiter realm. In the Saturn sphere is where you find cosmic memory. You find unprejudiced self-knowledge. The Saturn beings lead you to the starry realm. Out of the stars come the highest forces in you for your next incarnation. Feel reverence for the starry heavens. Now you're at the spiritual midnight, the turning point of your cosmic biography, and the beginning of your new journey to Earth. You decide to be born again and take up your karma. Your orientation to a new life on earth begins. You began your long descent back through the spheres in reverse order. You begin your movement through the outer planetary sphere of Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, into the sun, and then through the inner planetary spheres of Venus, Mercury, and Moon. Your soul and spirit are moving toward matter. Your spirit germ is being prepared. You take this long journey with full knowledge of future suffering and the meaning for your new life. You design your own future for your own self-perfecting. The divine feminine present is with you. She is with you. Your parents' longing and loving is pulling you to earth.
on the way back to the physical existence, you pick up what you left behind on the moon sphere, things you need to work on in this new life. You pick up capacities needed for your new life, things you need to deal with your karma. You add your intentions, the karma of your new life. You find the strength that will help you accept and plunge into your karma. You experience your experience future-oriented longings to advance on Earth. At some point, you get a preview, a vision of your future earthly life. The brilliance of the cosmic consciousness is dimming. The vast cosmic consciousness of the spirit germ is narrowing and dimming so it can enter into your physical body. Conception takes place, which connects your physical body. Heredity begins to be part of your development. You are ready to be born into earthly existence again. You have completed this long journey, the human becoming cosmos, to the cosmos becoming human again. From starry realm to green earth I come. Dreaming through sphere of planets and moon, I draw near. Falling asleep to the home I have known, I awake here on earth. From the all to the one I fall. You're entering your earthly existence. You're back on earth. I want you to take a moment to think back into this imagination. Recall the gifts you have brought, your gifts, your strengths, your capacities you have brought to this earthly life that helped you prepare and that has helped you deal with your destiny, your karma in this life. Now feel yourself where you are. Take a minute to write these down if you have a pen handy. Open your eyes, feel your feet on the ground, breathe. Feel where you are and take a minute to think of these capacities that you have brought back into this earthly life. Okay, now Tess, we're going to go into our first breakout room. Mm-hmm. Tess is going to say something about that. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Wow, that was beautiful, Sandra. So, so profound.
Thank you.
So I was going to just check in with Jennifer and Sandy because we're a few minutes behind. So I was wondering if we should do dyads instead of triads. It's up to you.
Yes. Is that right? Jennifer, yes.
Yes.
Because of the number of people. Yes.
Right.
So I'm going to, before I put everyone in, I'm going to unmute you all, and then you'll go into the rooms. It'll give you a prompt to go in, and if you have any questions, let me know. But I'll be sending you all. Yep.
You'll have 2 minutes each to share.
Oh, 2 minutes each. Okay. So you want to do dyads. Okay. Yep. Okay, so... So it won't be recorded in there. So whatever the guidelines that Linda shared in our main session this morning will also apply, the sharing guidelines. And just be your timekeepers between the two of you.
And we hope everybody will go, because if not, somebody will be there by themselves. And you get to choose what you want to share.
Yeah. Okay. So... we have, let me just quickly see how many rooms. Okay, perfect. Okay, so I'll call you all back when you, oh, I need to unmute you all. Okay.
¿En qué plataforma está trabajando ese?
Me
Okay. Looks like everyone is kind of paired up. Looks like Joyce might not be with someone.
It also looks, someone had a question, what are we sharing about? We're sharing the gifts that we brought, strengths or gifts that we brought with us in this lifetime.
Okay, I'll put that in the chat. Sandra, you can join your with Mary.
Well,
you're not
we're not going to do this time.
Okay.
We can't, but can you put Mary and Jennifer, Joyce together? I don't know.
Let me try.
Because of the time, we need to readjust.
Okay. Okay, I moved. So one person's alone. I just put Mary with someone. Okay, so I'll put the message into the, let me move. If someone's alone, should I move them somewhere? Well, okay. So broadcast a message. So you're sharing what gifts and strengths. Someone just asked for help, okay.
Did you answer, Paulette? Oh, we've lost Hess.
I don't know. No, Tess was about to answer her, I think. Because now we can't chat either. Can you hear me, Sandra?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay.
But there are two other people, Margaret and Warren. I don't know if they're with us. If they decide to stay in the main room.
Yeah, I don't know either. Warren is muted, but it looks like Margaret is not.
I guess I wasn't clear enough about
Margaret's iPad. Is someone there? Can you just, are you muted?
Okay, so I went over a little bit. You went over and you're sharing, and then I end up going over because I can't look at the time while I'm doing that. And it wasn't showing up here on my thing.
Yeah. So how should we handle this next part? I can give them instructions, and they're only going to have a few minutes to begin a drawing, and then have them take it with them overnight.
Are you guys keeping track of the time? Because I kind of got a little bit sidetracked.
Yeah, well.
1:03, that's all I know.
Yeah, I don't know what time it started.
Okay.
We're talking about
how everyone's pretty much paired up.
Okay. We're just talking about how to regroup this last 10, 15 minutes. We're going to go over by 5 anyway, I'm sure.
Well, not more. I just don't want to do that. So,
well, then what do you think we should do with this, with the drawing exercise?
Well, after that, the drawing exercise.
And we're back.
Okay. And now we go to slide 19. Yes, I hope all of you had at least a moment to share a few words with one another. Now we're born, and what is our task here on earth? Rumi says, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to see and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. Sort of like Patrick Kennedy's clutching, holding, that he was referring to last night. So we just take a breath for a moment and be fully present here on Earth. And we're going to do an exercise that we'd like you to take home with you, so to speak. We're going to give you a little homework. Due to timing and some of the technical issues, we're going to start here now. And we're inviting you to just take a moment and begin to reflect back on your past year. Reflect on it going backwards, starting here now, moving backwards through time, looking objectively at people, events, and experiences, and bringing up these images inwardly. It's sort of like doing the Ruksha, the exercise that Steiner gives us to do every evening, reviewing our day backwards. This is reviewing our year going backwards, looking at as objectively as we can, as if you're observing experiences as another. And once you've done this, you can begin. We ask you to bring drawing paper and drawing utensils, or just plain pencil and paper will work just fine. We're going to ask you to begin to draw about your reflections, however it comes to you, using words or colors, symbols. It can be abstract, it can be stick figures. This is not artists, this is just to get us into a different realm. These can show situations you're in the middle of still, or perhaps some that have resolved, things you might be avoiding. Simply allow the drawing, writing, colors to speak through you without thinking too hard about it. Really allowing your heart to guide your hand. So begin to take a few minutes. We're just going to take a few minutes here tonight, this afternoon, to begin this process. And I ask you then to take it with you. If you have a few minutes during the day or sometime before we gather again tomorrow to continue drawing, if you can try to take at least 10 or 15 minutes with it, that would be great, because we're going to continue this process tomorrow in our second day. So we'll set the timer now, give you about 5 minutes to begin your drawing.
Are we not beginning with a reflection?
Mentally go through your reflection and just begin to draw, allowing
right
the reflection.
I haven't had time to reflect, I guess, so sorry.
Simply begin reflecting as you're drawing. Allow the drawing and the images that you're making to be some of your reflection.
Thank you for entering into that, and I hope you will. Can you hear me, Jennifer?
I can.
Thank you for entering into that, and we hope you'll have a chance to continue to work on that a little bit more, reflection over this last year. And now I'd like, before we close this section, to bring your loved ones who you have thought about and you have shared about, maybe in your breakout rooms, to bring them back into your heart at this time. And I have a Rilke verse we'd like to end with, and about our loved ones on the other side of the threshold. The mold in the catacomb of our memory does not suggest that our praising is less, nor deny that the gods cast shadows. We are friends who do not go away, who still hold through the doors of the tomb trays of shining fruit. Thank you. Have a good afternoon. Namaste.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. I will unmute. I'll invite you to unmute yourself to just say goodbye.
Thank you.
Bless you all.
Thank you. It's great.
Thank you for being with us.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
I just want to say